Jermaine Franklin from TSN joins us. Jermaine, how are you?
I'm all good. No Tinkerbell or Peter Pan or Goofy pictures.
Oh, trust me, there'll Mickey be a few Tinkerbells I could see later on from Rashog, for sure. Oh, that's a good point. We'll have to ask Randine to send us a few of Rashog's photos, because, yeah, you're right. Those would probably be gold. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, I could see him dressing up like Peter Pan, too. He'd probably like that. Do you have a favorite Rashog story? You guys have worked together now. Man, it's like a decade almost, isn't it?
It's been over a decade. I don't know. I don't have any crazy funny stories, but always what comes up is Rashog. I don't know if he's the toughest of guys, but he did have his appendix removed during the playoffs 1 year and came back the next day. So that's always a good story.
Ooh, all right.
He looked like a mess, but he would not take the next day off. He was walking around with a shirt out. And you're like, Reese, you know, you should really just relax here. And he's like, nope, you're going to go. So
what
so
playoffs was this?
Toughness then. It had to be 06.
So the orders were in it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he was like, I can't call in sick. I can't do it.
Exactly.
Little did he know that that'd be the last time he'd ever cover the team in the playoffs. Smart.
Which makes his decision that much more smart on his part. So true. I guess that's a good story for Reese.
How did we know he had such foresight looking ahead?
Yeah.
That a decade later, the orders wouldn't have a sniff again, which is disappointing. You know, Oiler fans, they're almost immune to it, sadly. It doesn't mean they're not disappointed again. But Calgary came in this season, Jermaine, heightened expectations, and they got off to a brutal start. Are they? They've won some games. Are they playing that much better in your mind?
You know what? They are playing a lot better. And I think it starts with the goaltending. I won't say that their goaltending has been fantastic, but Kari Ramo is finally found some sort of stability. When you're giving up over four goals a game, you're definitely going to be a terrible team. Their defensive zone coverage is a little bit better, but don't want to get too carried away with two straight wins, but they do have wins in three of four. I think the main thing is they're scoring goals. And right now, a little bit of offense helps cover the mistakes that they're making. And hopefully, if you're a Flames fan, they have things back on track heading out east.
The return of Brody seemed to really solidify everything for that team.
Oh, it's incredible. Brody seems to be the elixir that solves problems. If you're not playing well, Bob Hartley will put you with Brody. So, of course, when TJ Brody came back, he was playing with his regular partner and Mark Giordano, and Giordano's play definitely stepped up. And all of a sudden you see him playing with Chris Russell for a little bit, and then he'll be playing with Dennis Wiedemann, and it's not, and the problem is not Brody. Brody is the guy that is picking these guys up. And you see that his natural ability to join the rush, and there's no thinking about it because he has the skating ability to get back. He's rarely caught. It's just been night and day when he's on the ice. And it doesn't matter who he's on the ice with, he makes them a better player. So it kind of gives you a little insight into why Giordano was having such an amazing year last year. I think Brody was a big reason why. And you know, it's hard to explain except for the fact that Brody has been outstanding once again.
Jermaine Franklin joins us, a special Rashog report. So if you were looking at Calgary's best pairings in their top three, who, now that Brody's healthy and you've got Wiedemann and Giordano and Hamilton and Russell in England, which are the three best pairs for this team moving forward?
Right now, I think the best pair is probably going to be Giordano and Brody, and then Russell and Hamilton were playing a little bit. And that seemed to work out well. And then it would be Wiedemann and Englund, or they'd switch it around once in a while. But the main pairing that they hope to get going, I believe, they hope to get going, is Russell and Wiedemann. They were an outstanding pair last year, at least they were very good and reliable. That hasn't happened so far this year, so they've had to split them up. But I think when it works best is when Brody is with Giordano, Weidman is with Russell, and then Hamilton has found a bit of a home playing alongside Derek Englund. And it seems it's been solid. But truthfully, Russell has been playing with Hamilton lately, and that's been working well. So right now, I believe the pairing is Giordano and Brody, Weidman and Englund, and of course Hamilton and Russell. The Hamilton and Russell being the second pair.
And if you look, long term in Calgary, Russell's a free agent. He's got a 2.6 cap hit. He's in the final year of his contract. He's 28 years of age. I'm hearing he's looking for $4.5 million. And when I see how much money they have tied up in their back end, I'm just not sure that's going to fit in. And when I look at the free agent crop, I'm not even sure he can get $4.5 million if he goes to the free agent market. I'm not sure there's a team that's willing to spend on him based on how little teams handed out in cap space this past summer for defensemen.
I think that's a very fair assessment, and that's one of the realities of the cap world. And to tell you the truth, and this is just me speaking, this is just my opinion, I'm not completely convinced, even if Chris Russell ends up having a very good year, because he struggled mightily off the top. He was minus 16 at one point. He's starting to climb his way out. I believe he was a plus 3 against the Penguins, so congrats on that. So he's starting to climb his way out of the plus-minus department. But back to my point, I'm not completely convinced that even if Chris Russell had a great year, if he's definitely in the Flames' plans. The only reason why I say that is, one, he's not a very big defenseman. And I know the game has changed. I know first pass and speed is a big part of being a defenseman. But that doesn't mean you don't need sandpaper and grit back there. And if you look at their top six, the only guy with real sandpaper and grit is Derek Englund, who is their sixth defenseman, no arguments. And Mark Giordano has a little bit of sandpaper as well. But Dougie Hamilton, he may be 6'5", he may be 200+. He's not that kind of player. And if this is still a Brian Burke, Brad Treliving run team, I think that is one of the things they are going to need/want back there. They have their puck movers, and Chris Russell is another one. But if they're going to have to trade one or get in the business of making that a little bit tougher to get in front of that net, they're going to need to find a little more size and truculence, as Berkey likes to say, and a little more sandpaper back there. In the future.
Yeah. What's the update on Schmid?
Schmid is healthy, and he's been playing. It's just tough to get in the lineup right now because Chris Russell's game has picked up. And to Hartley's credit, he's given a lot of leash to Chris Russell and Dennis Weidman. And the one thing that that Hartley does like, with the exception of Brody and Giordano, simply because Brody is so good, he likes guys on their natural side.
Okay.
So right now it's tough for Schmid to break in because he's a lefty, and you're not going to take Englund out right now. You're definitely not going to take Giordano or Chris Russell. I'd say was the only vulnerable one. Didn't happen. Dennis Weidman is one guy that I don't think they'd miss too much if they took him out, but then that would put one of these guys that aren't as talented as Brody on their wrong side, and it could make them vulnerable. So I think that's more of a coach's decision more than anything.
And what do you see unfolding? Is Kerry Romo now the number one guy in Calgary?
Yes. Yeah, I think he is now the number one guy, but how does he have a cement hold on it? Absolutely not. And I don't think he's played good enough to think that way, but it's just who Hartley trusts right now. Hiller is injured, and Ordeo had two chances, and he gave up plenty of goals, 4 goals in each game that he played, at least. So now the ball is in Ramos' hands, and he has allowed just 1 and 2 goals his last two starts. That's not a lot, but that's a lot more than what they've been showing in the first 14 games of the season, or first 12 games of the season. So it is definitely his ball to run with it.
Jermaine, quickly moving on, the Stampeders are now going to host the BC Lions in the West semifinal. John Cornish, is he done for the year?
I'm not at liberty to say because I have no idea, but if you're on the outside looking in, the fact that he up to the end of last week, he was still not allowed to start the first stage of concussion protocol,
yeah,
which is riding a bike. If he was done for the year, I would not be surprised. But the Stamps are absolutely sticking with the possibility of bringing him back. Football, as we know, is a very harsh game. And I think watching it long enough, even as a fan or a reporter, you get that attitude. And to tell you the truth, seeing how Jerome Messam has played the last two games, not only do the Stamps not necessarily need Cornish that bad, but they don't have to worry or think about it as much either, knowing that they have a Canadian running back in Messam who can fill not the entire void, but a lot of it. And they got to move on and see if they can win something here.
Well, I think Eskimo fans probably rooting a little bit for Calgary because you'd rather beat the best, in my opinion. And the Calgary Stampeders have been the class of the West for the last few seasons. And they will host BC Sunday afternoon at 2:30. And the winner, of course, will be in Edmonton for the first time in 12 years for the West Final. It should be an interesting one. Jennings is kind of the wild card for BC. And, you know, Andrew Harris, if he can get running, they've got a shot. But that Jennings just, you know, he has shown me something that makes me believe if there's going to be an upset, it's going to be led by him.
Yeah, and he definitely gave Edmonton a run the last time they were in Edmonton a couple of weeks back. And I agree with you. Jennings, whenever a quarterback can use both his feet and his arm, at the status, I guess, that he does, anything can happen, that's for sure. And if it's Calgary going up to Edmonton, Edmonton has not allowed more than 16 points to Calgary all season long. It's just incredible how good their defense has been against Bo Levi Mitchell and the Stamps offense. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't mind seeing the Stampeders one more time.
Jermaine, I appreciate you filling in for Rashog. You do it. Hey, you did it last week when he was gone for the McDavid watch, and so I'm sure you'll do it in the future. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. And Edmonton treated me well, I must say.